I want you to know, hey, we're pretty easygoing people, so I'm glad that you guys are relaxed tonight. I know you're here on an off night anyway, so you don't feel bad. If we're a little stuffy, it's just because we're trying to work our way into things, but I promise by the end of this service, we'll be ready to go. And I do give these guys a really hard time, but they do a fantastic job. I had the privilege to work with them all spring while we were getting ready to go and then travel with them as well. And so I had plenty of opportunity to bail out if I really wanted to. But these are great guys and good servants. They work hard at their ministry. And I know all of their families, and I know where they're coming from. And now Derek Vestal, the guy in the end, our tenor, his dad is an assistant pastor out in Oregon. And Evan LaFountain, his dad is a pastor in southern Indiana. And Danny K, he's our upper class. We've been giving Danny a really hard time, so I'm glad he got some exposure tonight and got a little extra. Now, he's going to use that 20 to buy us all something, but no, it's for you, Danny. You can use it for whatever you want. Buy as many gumballs as you want, buddy. Now, Danny's a great guy. He has a great spirit. We really have been giving him a pretty hard time this week, and he's taken it in stride and hasn't got offended it. No more than 10 or 15 times, but no, he is a great guy, and his dad is a pastor up in Connecticut, and then Kurt Rogers, his dad, pastors up in the upper part of Michigan, almost near the UP up there, and they're great guys. I'm happy to travel with them, but please bring prayer for us. We're going to be in Missoula tomorrow for a couple of days, and then we're heading over to Washington State. And we've traveled now, coming back down from Calgary. I think we're about 2,500, 2,600 miles so far. First week and a half or so was a good bit of driving for us, but hopefully it'll slow down just a little bit. But we're going to be in Washington State for a few days through next weekend, and then we'll be heading down into Oregon and then California. But please be in prayer for us, obviously, for safety while we travel, and that I'd be alert on the roads and take good care. The Lord bless us and take good care of us, and that we can be an encouragement to other churches as much as your church has been an encouragement to us, your pastor has, and you guys have taken such good care of us. I appreciate that very much. We're going to be in John chapter 1 tonight, and I do want to give you something I think will help you. Pastor mentioned our daughter. She is she's special in many ways. We think that she's gorgeous and she's cute. She is the only girl, especially granddaughter, on either side of our families. And so she's the little princess of the family. And so you pray that we deal with that little monster that we're creating while she gets spoiled rotten. And but she is special. About a year and a half ago, she was 16 months old. And she was having some difficulties, some things that really concerned us, and took her to the emergency room, and they didn't think anything was wrong, and followed up with her pediatrician, and 24 hours later, we find ourselves in the Children's Hospital in Indianapolis, and our daughter is starting her first chemo treatment for stage 4 neuroblastoma cancer, and it's just amazing how quickly your life can turn around. I'm sure there are many of you that understand that. And she's went through 8 rounds of chemotherapy, which then led to surgery, and then now she's in remission. And we're thankful for the Lord for His mercy on us and His blessings. But you be in prayer for us. If you think about her, she is really a cutie, and she's got such a sweet little spirit. And she makes us so happy, and we're grateful for how the Lord has worked out these last few months. And I want to preach to something to you that I think may help you kind of in this area, because you cannot go through difficult situations like I know many of you have in this room without faith. And I want to talk to you just a little bit about faith, and we're in John chapter 1. John chapter 1, and we're going to read probably, I'm going to read a couple verses, have you read with me. So let's stand together, let you stretch for just a second, and we'll read just a few verses. I'm going to start in verse 44 of John chapter 1, and then I'll have you read together with me just in a second here. So John chapter 1 and verse 44, the Bible says, "Now Philip was of Bethsaida, in the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him, of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and saith of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And would you finish out the chapter with me in verse 51? And he saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. I just want to give you a few points tonight about Nathanael, about a man that's not spoken of quite a bit in Scripture. He's just kind of mentioned a few short times. But we see the faith of Nathanael in this particular passage of Scripture. And faith is the engine. It's the motivation that pushes everything we do as Christians. The world without their faith doesn't understand what we do. They don't understand how we live our life. They don't understand that trust that we put in God, not only for our eternity, but for the very ways that we go about our life, hoping for the blessings of God. And so I want to talk to you about Nathanael. I believe he's an example of faith to us. And all of us need faith for the good times and the bad. And I just want to give you a few points upon this. I won't be long, I don't think, tonight. But I do want to help you. And I pray that, and I ask you that you will open up your heart, please, while I speak. Let's pray, and then you can go ahead and be seated. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity tonight. Thank you for this great church and their pastor and their love and their hospitality towards us tonight. I pray that you would allow in this short time, Lord, that as we look at your word, I pray you'd help me, that your Holy Spirit would guide me as I speak. Lord, that I'd be able to be an encouragement and a help to everyone here in the room. Lord, I pray that we would make this time profitable that we're here, Lord. And it wouldn't just be some fun time of singing and some good songs, Lord, but that your word would speak to each one of us and help us. Lord, during this time, please, in Jesus' name I ask. Amen. I'm going to try to turn this on because I think hopefully it'll work. It's on two switches. One and... Oh, two. There we go. I got it. I think it's going to work. Is it working? There we go. Can you hear me? Okay, good. I have a little bit of a problem standing still for too long. So it helps me to have something to walk around a little bit with, especially as I get going. But Jesus mentioned faith 29 different times. Can you still hear me? I feel like it's really quiet. Is it okay out there? Okay, you're good. All right. Jesus mentions faith 29 separate times, and often it is the key factor in the working of miracles and how Jesus dealt with different groups of people. So as Jesus would go from town to town and he'd find different groups of people, especially those who were needy, it was their faith that Christ was looking for to determine what was going to happen. If they had faith in him that he was the Son of God many times, and they would demonstrate that in different ways. Jesus wasn't looking for a specific phrase or a specific act of servitude or sacrifice. He was just watching for some way, whether it be the lady with the issue of blood who reached out to touch the hem of his garment, or if it was a particular person who would just call him Master or Lord, or if it was a centurion who would say, Master, I know you, I am over men, and I know you are over things as well, and I trust that you can make this happen. They all demonstrated their faith in different ways, but it was always the key factor in determining how Jesus dealt with their life, how he dealt with their troubles, how he worked his miracles. Our faith is a key element in our relationship with God. We know that famous verse in Hebrews chapter 11, in verse 6, it says, But without faith it is what? Impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We know that faith is something that God specifically looks for in our lives. Now, in this particular portion of Scripture, we see this man, Nathanael. Now this time, now this is a time in the early part of the book of John, the early part of the New Testament, in which Jesus is looking for some followers. He's looking for some apostles and some disciples, some people to follow him. And Peter, James, and John, and Andrew, and these men are going around, and one by one, they choose and they decide to follow Jesus Christ. And this is the story as how Nathanael decided to do that. So I want to just look in his life a little bit. Look at just a few short verses here as how Nathanael demonstrated his faith, because it's an important moment. And Jesus has some pretty incredible things to say about this man, Nathanael, even though he is not a main character in the Bible. If we were to go around the room and I was to say, all right, I want you to tell me one of the main characters you think are in the Bible, and I would say, you can't repeat anyone else's answer, we would probably normally go through this entire room and Nathanael would never be mentioned. We talk about David, we talk about Jonah, we talk about Moses, we talk about all these other people in the Bible, Paul, maybe, and Timothy, and Peter, and people that we would consider, this is a main character, or Noah. Nathanael, not so much. But he has quite a bit to teach us in just these 7 or 8 verses in Scripture. So first thing I see here, if we look at verses 45 and 46 here, back in John chapter 1, we look at verse 46, it says, "And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, Come see." This is a pretty interesting and maybe slightly demeaning statement that's made about Jesus. When they come to Jesus and they say, hey, this I think is the person we've been looking for thousands of years. This could be the Messiah. And Nathanael's answer is, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Now, I don't know where you're from. I am from Ohio originally. My parents, both sides, grew up in Cleveland, Ohio. And Cleveland, Ohio has gotten a pretty bad rap over the years. Most of it, honestly, very well deserved. But I remember when I was out in California, and it was my first time as an assistant pastor getting up to speak to our people. Our pastor was out of town. And another assistant pastor had been there for quite a while, got up to kind of introduce me and talk about me a little bit. And one of the things he says, can any good thing come out of Ohio? That's what he said. It's like, thank you for that wonderful introduction. Now, he turned it around, and it was kind of a joke. But it's a statement that we make, like, you know, really, like, I know where you're from. And he said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? You know what that tells me about Nathanael? Because Nazareth was a blue-collar area of Israel. It was fishermen, and we know Joseph, he was a carpenter. It was a working town. This was not the fancy part around Jerusalem. This was blue-collar town, and didn't exactly have the greatest reputation. People didn't say, hey, where are you going for vacation this year? I'm going to Nazareth. No, it wasn't like that. The reputation of Nazareth wasn't that way. And what I see in the way that Nathanael started this conversation, saying, really, Nazareth, this is where this guy's from? You know what that tells me? It tells me he was a normal person. A lot of times we look at these characters, or the characters maybe isn't even the right word, these are real human beings, and we look at them and we see the great works that they do, and we see the miracles that sometimes God has performed through them, and we think somehow that these are just miraculous people that are nothing like us. But they were men and women with hurts and with discouragement and with pain and with jobs and with things just like us. And God still chose to use them. And when I see a little bit of this sarcasm come out of Nathanael, this person we're going to use as our example tonight, I see, you know what? He was a normal guy, just like any other person. He had some wit, he had some sarcasm about it, and also he was skeptical, just like any other person would be. If someone comes up to you with this story of, this is the greatest thing ever, and this is exactly what I'm looking for, it's like, really? I mean, really? You know? And they've been looking for the Messiah for thousands of years at this point, and, you know, these guys run up to you and say, hey, I found the guy we're looking for, and he's from Nazareth. You know, Nathanael didn't say, please, take me to him immediately. That's what we would expect the example of faith to do. But he says, really? Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? That tells me he's just like me and you. Regular person. So don't look at these characters or these people in the Bible and think, I could never be like that. Because you know what? They're just like you. There's just one distinct feature about them that sets them apart. And with Nathanael, it was his faith. But he's not off to a very good start. But that at least gives us hope that, you know what? If God could say some great things about Nathanael and his faith, And he was skeptical just like any other person. Maybe I can do that too. Maybe I can have great faith. Maybe I can impress God and please God with my level of faith as well. Secondly, if we look at verse 47, Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said, "Behold, an Israelite indeed." And it says, "In whom is no guile." That guile is it's a word for corruption. And it's a dirty word per se, as far as it's unclean and it's corrupt and it has a filthiness to it. In other words, he said, this is a person here. Who was Nathanael? He was a person of pure heart. And our faith is built upon pureness of heart. You see, you cannot have faith in something until you fully commit. And there's that old illustration, I'm not going to give it tonight. You've probably seen countless preachers give it before me about the chair, right? You can say that you believe the chair is going to hold you up. You can tell everyone else around you, I believe that chair is going to hold me up. But it doesn't really matter until you choose to sit down. You see, you cannot have faith if you're not willing to jump all in. See, God isn't impressed with our fact of saying, well, I don't know, maybe. I'll give it a try. You know, I preached this something kind of like this a few days ago, and I mentioned the fact that one of the reasons why I feel like we're losing traction as Christians and many people drop out of the ministry is they're just not willing to hang in it long enough. They try it for a day or for a week or for a month, and not everything in their whole life is fixed. They've been maybe living in the world for years and years and years, and they have 15, 20, 25 years as adults of living out in the world, and they expect God is going to fix all of those problems in 1 week of going to church. And they're just not willing to stick with it long enough. There's not enough commitment there for the faith to really build. See, commitment is the foundation that faith builds upon. The faith doesn't come immediately. It takes time. Nathanael's faith was built upon his pureness of heart. Thirdly, I look in verse 48 here. Nathanael saith unto him, "Whence knowest thou me?" He's saying, "Christ, how do you know me? I've never met you before in my life." And what does he say? He says, Jesus answered and said unto him, "Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee." So Jesus kind of prophesies unto Nathanael here and says, "Look, I saw you before you ever saw me. I saw you when you were talking to Philip under the fig tree." Jesus is looking at the character around him. When he said, "I saw you, Nathanael, before you ever got here," what does that prove to us when it comes to our faith? Is he is looking. And he is watching. And he's wondering, are there those still out there who really trust and believe in who I am and what I can do? You see, we say we believe, but our actions don't always prove it. And he says, "I'm watching what you're doing, Nathanael, and I saw where you were, and I saw what you said when you were talking to Philip." He's looking at the character of those around him. So I ask you this question tonight. What would Jesus see if he was looking at you? Would he see a life that was characterized by faith? Or would he see a life that says, "Well, you know, sometimes I feel like they believe in me, but sometimes I feel like they don't even think I'm even there." He is watching. He is interested in what we're doing with our lives. And he cares about how much we exercise our faith. Fourthly, let's look at verse 50 here. Jesus answered and said unto him, "Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these." You see, Jesus said one statement to Nathanael. He said, "I saw you talking to Philip under the fig tree." That was the only proof that he was the Son of God that Nathanael had, was one statement. One statement. He hadn't spent any time with him before this. And how does Nathanael answer him in verse 49? He says, "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel." One statement and Nathanael was on board. That's all it took. And Jesus is taken back by this. He says, "Wow, I cannot believe that that's all it took. I said one thing to you and you believe? Oh, he says, you're going to see greater things than these, Nathaniel. Jesus was impressed by his faith. You know why? Because number four, Nathaniel didn't make Jesus jump through hoops to get his faith. As Christians, as human beings, sometimes we are constantly putting God on trial. God, can you do this for me? Well, can you do, okay, I believe in you now. Well, what about this thing? Are you capable of handling this need? Are you capable of taking care of this situation? Okay, all right, yeah, so you took care of that too. I guess I'll keep going to church. I guess I'll keep reading my Bible. I guess I'll keep praying. We make God jump through all these hoops to get us to do what is already right to do. And Nathaniel said, look, God, I'm not gonna play Gideon with you. I'm not going to constantly try my faith in court and say, God, are you going to come through for me now? Are you going to come through for me now? Because what happens when you ask something of the Lord and He knows that that's not good for you and He doesn't come through? One thing that my wife and I, we had to come to grips with over the last year and a half is that we were going to wake up the next morning and our daughter still had cancer. And we believed in our heart that, hey, a miracle can take place. God can take it all away anytime He wants to. But in all honesty, we kind of believed, you know what, this trial, it's going to run its course. And we had to make a decision at that time. Are we going to still have faith? Are we still going to trust God, even though He says no? And I put that hoop out for God, and He says, no, I'm not playing this game with you. I'm God no matter what. Amen. I don't have to prove myself to you. Our life is about proving our worthiness to Him. Amen. Not the opposite. Amen. And Nathaniel said, hey, Thou art the King. Thou art my Lord. And Jesus was so taken back by that. He's like, I cannot believe it. I said one thing. I did one thing. Can anyone in this room think of one thing that God has done for you? Well, let's start at the very beginning, shall we, with salvation? Amen. So why do we have to continually put God on trial? Well, it's weak faith is what it is. Nathaniel didn't make Jesus jump through hoops to get his faith. Weak faith requires God to constantly prove Himself. And finally, let's look at verse 51. And he saith unto him, this is Jesus speaking, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. The last thing I learned from this little story about Nathaniel here is that small faith opens us up to greater things. It started with this one small act of faith, and this one small belief that Nathaniel had, and Jesus said, wow. If you're jumping in early like this, you're going to see some great things later on in Nathaniel. If you want to see God do big things in your life, you must begin by trusting Him with the little things. It's things like, and they may seem like they're big things to us, but to God, your finances are a little thing. Your health is a little thing to God. And trusting Him that good health or bad health, God's still in control. Faith is designed to move us to action. Actions do not prove faith, they validate it. James chapter 2 talks about this, where James says, you show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. What are some areas that our faith can motivate us? It can motivate us to be patient with God. Patient that He knows what's happening. Patient that He'll do what He chooses to do in His timing. Our faith motivates us to attend church. There's no common sense principle to why we would give up hours and hours of our time every week to sit in a room and hear a person open up the Word of God and tell us either how good or how bad we are. That doesn't really make a lot of common sense. But our faith says, you know what? I believe it's more than just that. I believe it's a time of fellowship and strength in the body of Christ. And I also believe it's a time for the Lord to speak to my heart and stir me in areas that I feel like I'm either displeasing Him or areas I can please Him even more. Our faith motivates us in our giving and how we invest in the work of God in His kingdom, whether it's the giving of your time or giving of your money. It motivates us in our service. on how we choose to use our life. And finally, how does our faith motivate us? It motivates us in our soul winning. Faith is what motivates us to tell others about Him. If you truly believe He's as good as you say He is, why don't you tell other people about Him? Our faith is what causes us to walk up to a stranger's door, not knowing what's on the other side. It could be a happy person. It could be an angry person. It could be the biggest dog you've ever seen in your entire life. You don't know. It's not natural for you to walk up to a stranger. I mean, have you ever, any other context of your life, you ever done that? Oh, yeah, I just randomly knock on all people's doors. I just pick a street. Oh, I want to go meet those people on that street. I want to knock on those. We don't do that in any other facet of our lives. But you know what? It's our faith that says, you know what? God can do something greater through me than I could ever do by myself. Are you exercising your faith tonight? Are you making God jump through hoops? Is God going through your spiritual obstacle course to win your faith? I look at this man, Nathanael, a small character in the Bible as far as his mention is concerned. But boy, did he have great faith. What an example. And he if someone in Scripture, and I read, and he impresses our Savior, I take notice. So hopefully we can learn something tonight from the life of Nathanael, and maybe say, God, what would you have me do with my faith? Let's bow our head and close our eyes. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the time we've had together, Lord. Thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for the example you've given us and for choosing to tell us about Nathanael and who he was, Lord, and his faith. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd help us maybe find something in what was said tonight to help. And, Lord, that we would make some decisions about our faith. Father, in this next short minutes, Lord, maybe as we have an opportunity to make a decision, Lord, I pray that we'd speak, that you'd speak to our hearts and that we would listen. And, Lord, that we would follow whatever leading that you have for us.
And the Lord spoke to your heart tonight. The altar is open. Let's all stand. Everyone standing for what tremendous thought. Why don't you just come and, hey, you may not have that time in your life yet that you have to lay your baby on the altar of God and say, Lord, here he is or here she is. I just want you to know that he's yours. Well, that's a smart choice because he is God's anyway, or she is God's anyway. And when you put them there, I think it's the most safest place in the world. You say, but preacher, I'm not much. You're something to God. God says, I know the number of your hair, your head. I know your name. He said, I know your thoughts afar off. I know all about you. I know you when you're underneath the fig tree. God, speak to your heart. Why don't you come? Come to you tonight. We certainly thank you for meeting with us tonight. Oh my. Speaking to our hearts, putting it where it really is. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts tonight. Lord, help us to walk closer to you. Help us to have such a desire to serve you that people would notice and say there's just something different about that person. They're just different. Lord, we live in a world that's crazy. We live in a world that's devastated by terror. We live in a world that is questioning and searching for someone who will get us out of this mess. And they missed him. Just like Daniel said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Well, that's where the world is today. This Jesus, can he help us? Yes, a million times. Lord, so speak to our hearts. Thank you for loving us and caring. Thank you for these men that are traveling, this dear lady and their little girl. Please, God, would you please protect that little one? And Lord, may we say it was good to be in the house, Lord, tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Gentlemen, how many of those did you pass out?